So indeed, welcome all. I'm delighted to be chairing this panel on the panel discussion today on why circus. Circus performance invite audiences to thrill in risk-taking and witness the body achieving near impossible feats. This art form defies boundaries of speech, communicating through the universal language of movement and humour. In recent years, circus shows have moved from the big top to the main stage and are a feature of many festivals across the world indeed. A major feature of this year's festival here at Bobbaro. And today we're asking our panelists why they've chosen circus as an art form and why they believe it is particularly suited to children. So I'll pass you over to our panelists now, who'll introduce themselves, their work, and then begin to answer this question of why circus.
My name is Emily Weiss. I'm French, and I live in the Netherlands, in Rotterdam, and I'm artistic director of my own company. And I've created a performance called Be Kind, a circus performance for babies from 6 to 18 months. I'm not a circus artist, I'm a dancer. My education is ballet and contemporary dance. I had a career in dance in companies, and I became as well later on a ballet teacher. So I worked also with children, with very young children, and also with people with disabilities, physical disabilities. So circus was not in my radar. Early on, I met in one of my contracts my future husband, who is a juggler, and I got introduced to this art form that I didn't know so well before. And he asked me to do a little project if I would be interested to mix dance and juggling. And I said, why not? And at the end, it finished by we had like a 19 years career together, international career, like with a performance called Juggling Tango. And we have performed in circus, in theaters, in street festivals. And I feel at home with circus now. Maybe I'm a circus performer. I don't know if I can say that. And circus for babies came also later on during the pandemic. I saw an article about babies' development that they were aware of gravity from 6 months old. And that's having performed in a juggling performance, and juggling is playing with gravity. I thought, oh, that's interesting that there is awareness, because if we trick with this awareness, if, for example, an object that you drop is not falling on the ground straight away, they're surprised and their interest is engaged. So I thought that would be super nice to do a circus performance for babies. There's many elements in circus that you can use to surprise babies this age. To see someone upside down doing acrobatic is unusual. It's extraordinary. And that's, I think it's a really nice possibility to have babies excited about what they're going to see in front of them. There's also a really nice element about object manipulation, juggling. So it's not a body base, but more like object base. And that's also very interesting to get in communication with babies, because it's not so frontal, but we have something in between. And all these visual difference were quite interesting for me to work on, to create Be Kind. And Be Kind was created with scientific support, because it's very difficult as a maker to know what to do for a baby from 6 to 18 months when we can't remember what it is for ourselves. I wanted to get into the head of what they're interested in, what their connection to the world and to their family members, etc. So it was interesting to use circus, but also to use science. And what was very important in the creation of Be Kind is that we had babies coming all the time in. We went to creche, and we were also having babies coming in after each period of creation time. And thanks to one of our co-producer, Ingrid Wolf from Tweetovano Festival, they have a huge program where they can help the makers to get in contact with their audience. So they really facilitate that. So for me, circus was a really nice media to do a circus performance for babies. It was really something that I thought there was a lot of potential. I think that's it. Hi.
So if you want to introduce yourself and your work.
I just want to say that sometimes I might lose myself in speaking something. So if you say you're going too much beside the subject, just tell me, please.
That's fine.
My name is Wart. I'm a Belgian circus artist. I was studying in ESAC. I don't know if you know this school. It's a school of for circus, learning circus. But my background is in parkour, free running. So really urban practice, starting as a kid, starting as a youngster, 13 years old, being obsessed by movement, by cities. Yeah, imagining everything that would be possible to do in the street. And that's how I found my way to circus also, from purely practicing almost athletic movements. And then people asking like, could you demonstrate a bit your skills? And then that demonstrative thing, I was having a struggle with it because it was always like, watch what I'm capable of doing. But it was more like, yeah, that doesn't say so much. And circus is an art form where this extraordinary physical capacities also become like an artistic proposition or can underline the artistic proposition. So that was my way into circus. So I'm an acrobat, but I also love to juggle. I also love to play music and I love to interact with the audience. So our pieces, the company name is B Flat. I'm one of the two founders. We founded it in 2017, so that's 8 years ago. And since the foundations, we made 4 different pieces. We mainly work site-specific, so we have been working mainly in public space. Do you know what site-specific work is? Most of you do. So that's the idea of that the space has an influence on the piece. So we integrate things that are specific from the space and we work with that and integrate that in the piece. That's also what parkour is about. We adapt ourselves to the space rather than adapting the space to ourselves, which in theater or in.
Do you want to describe that picture that we just saw?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. So here you see a picture of our first piece, which is called Follow Me. And there we make like a walkabout with the people through the city. So we make a meeting point where people get together. We hand them some foldable stools and then we take them on a journey, acrobatic journey through the cities, climbing buildings and like interacting is very participatory. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this fourth wall, which can exist in theater pieces, we really like to break that or never install it. We're all together sharing the same space in the here and now. And so with W, that's the piece we have presented in Barbora. It's the same idea of like, we try to be together in the space, even though the proposition is that we have a separated space. So it's a bifrontal setup. People are sitting on both sides of a curtain and, the actors are changing stage and we hear what's happening on the other side, but we don't see it in the beginning. And more and more, these audiences get connected and get to see each other and finish as one group of people. So I think that brings me to why I love circus. I think circus, in the essence, is bringing people together in a tent, in a circular space. So it's not the audience is not necessarily like a passive observer. They're all together watching to the middle to something and living this in a collective thing. So this collectivity, this meeting together in a circle, I think it's very powerful. And then we can experience something we didn't see before. Yeah, I think that's magic. And when you can share that with people, I think it's great. So our company doesn't make work specific for children. We make for large audience. So that could be old people, very young people. And we hope that everybody can get something from it, especially from being there together also. So I think the mixture of people of different generations, I think that's also a strength in circus. Yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
So many thanks to Barbara for inviting me here today. Feel very honoured to be part of this conversation on Why Circus alongside some inspiring, amazing people. I'm here to introduce Galway Community Circus, which is a remarkable organisation that I'm lucky to lead, a place where we use the magic of circus arts to transform lives, not just in Galway, but across Ireland and far beyond. So a short history of Galway Community Circus. So we began back in 2002, born from a simple but powerful idea that everyone, no matter their background or ability, should have the chance to learn, to play and express themselves through circus. From a handful of mixed skill classes, we've grown into Ireland's leading youth and social circus organisation. What started as a few young people learning to juggle or balance has become a year-round circus school with classes, performances and outreach projects touching thousands of lives. So fast forward to today, we're a team of 26 people. We've got 14 staff on payroll, 8 freelancers and 4 wonderful European Solidarity Corps volunteers. And perhaps my favourite part, many of our current teachers were once youth members themselves. So that's the true value of circus and learning, performing, returning and then passing it on. So how did we transform from a small company into what we are today? We had 2 major European projects in 2020 and 2022. And they completely changed the game for us. First came Wires Crossed, which was part of Galway 2020 European Capital of Culture. At its heart was funambulism, wire walking, but it was really about balance in every sense, balancing communities, confidence and connection. Hundreds of people from across Europe took part, young people, adults, professionals and complete beginners, all discovering that extraordinary things happen when you take one brave step at a time. Then in 2022 came Lifeline, Achieving the Impossible, which took the why walking further. So we used it as a tool for mental health, resilience and well-being. Through Lifeline, we proved something we always felt to be true. Circus isn't just an art form. It's a way to help people find balance, focus and courage in everyday lives. And we're thrilled that Lifeline has recently been recognised in the National Lottery Awards, winning the regional award, and next Saturday we'll be at the national finals. So please cross your fingers for us. We'd love to bring that award back to Galway. In 2018, Galway Community Circus became an Arts Council of Ireland strategically funded organisation, but the only youth circus in the country to hold that status. And that recognition is transformative. It allows us to plan long-term, invest in our people, subsidise places for young participants, and deliver the kind of ambitious national and European projects that have shaped who we are today. Locally, we're a thriving community hub, engaging over 600 people every week across Galway. But we impact thousands through our wider work in schools, youth services, in community groups, including young people in direct provision, traveller communities and disabled young people. For many of us, the circus is more than a class. It's a place where they feel they belong. Nationally, we support the development of the youth circus sector, mentoring artists, training educators and collaborating with the Arts Council to shape the future of youth and social circus in Ireland. And internationally, Galway punches way above its weight. We're proud members of Caravan Circus Network, ICO, the European Youth Circus Organisation, and we're Ireland's only FedEx member, connecting us with hundreds of circus schools and professionals worldwide. We also hold the Erasmus Quality label and we are Ireland's only circus organisation with Erasmus Plus accreditation, which opens doors for exchanges, training and new partnerships across Europe. So why does all this matter? The strategic funding, the big European projects, the international partnerships, they make it possible for us to offer high quality circus education to hundreds of young people, deliver large participatory projects that shape that build well-being and community, and they develop professional learning for Irish circus educators. And we represent Irish youth circus on the European stage, influencing policy and practice. So in short, Galway Community Circus is proof that a small local idea can grow into something extraordinary. Something that changes not only how people move, but how they think, connect and belong. From a small hall in Galway in 2002, to a strategically funded, internationally connected organisation in 2025. Our story shows how play, creativity and calculated risk can be powerful tools for personal and social change. Thank you very much.
No, my name is Kim Giron Figueroa. I'm from Spain, and I'm the founder and artistic director of Animal Religion. This was 2012 in Sweden. I studied there, dance and circus in a university. And I just, together with Niklas, my colleague in the class, we decided to found a company. So we started working on Animal Religion is the name. So it kicked up the first question to create. So we were young. Yeah, we were young. I'm 40 now. This was like, I don't know, I was 28. Yeah, I don't know. I had quite. I've been studying quite a lot in circus schools, like from my 17th years old. So it was quite a long journey for me to try out, live in France, in Switzerland, then move to Sweden. So I kind of like test different projects and so. So for me, Sweden was like a home to create something and come out with a proposition. I like, yeah, like company. So yeah, as I said, we were very young, explosive or intuitive, kind of like with really wanting to get out all the energy and not thinking much about the, yes, the result, but not the intellectual dramaturgy around somehow. And this was nice. I think we got to know this provocative moment. We got to know people and we started rolling up. Since then, we've done now 10 shows. Niklas didn't make to the first one, so I end up doing a solo because he wanted to do music. But it was really nice. We did so many experience in horse farms, like say site specific as well, experimenting with animals, gender as well. I don't know. I did so. It was kind of like, as I said, very physical and plastic, I would say, like aesthetically. Then at 2017, something shifted. We were working with a dramaturg and we started having the work more into questions and this intellectual part in us. And I started working with Juan and Joe, who are as well traveling with me at the festival. And we are presenting different shows that we co-direct and we are the authors of it. So something shift there. And yeah, we wanted to kind of like work more in this deep research on why we do things, not everything, you know, just like having more deeper questions or trying to have our own logic and method in working. So we decided to start working interdisciplinar, which was light, sound, and body from the first step we work on research. And for us, it was important, this interdisciplinar. It means that if you turn off the lights, you shift my choreography. If I make sound, I interfere your music, and so on. So we were like creating all three together. And there was a great opportunity to meet small children. We have never, it was not a name for us. We always thought it was like kind of like an easy shows or animation or just, you know, like give some time to them. And then we started, we got this proposal from El Més Petit de Tots, a great festival in Barcelona. And so they challenged us, like, why don't you do something for children as well? And we stepped in investigating a little bit. So, and we were so strict to us to try to do the exercise to not, I don't know if you say this word in English, infantilizar, no.
Fantasization.
Yes? Yeah, okay, yeah. Cool. And all these kind of topics and forms that we use to communicate to children that I do as well. And I have to take away this from me. So I smile to them in order to get a connection with them. So I'll do something more round and sharp, and I'll go careful with some stuff, and I'll put some colors and all that. But like the 10 first ideas we had, it was like garbage, out. Mm-hmm. So we stepped in the question of like, how can we give them like value? Really what we also like to do without going around with that. So we are trying to work with light and my body and the music. And of course we have to adjust the fear and some strange and some, you know, provocative image. No need to be there, but this was a challenge. So we came up with and the idea Soar. It's one of the performance. This is the other. It's one of the performance we are presenting in the festival that we just end up this long journey of 5 days, 14 shows. And it's a small circle. It's very intimate. Everyone is on the space, on the floor. And it's kind of like there's a lot of interaction. We try to get them some ideas. The show starts with a microphone, just put them on their mouth. They say something, then becomes like a music. And with this, we create a scene and so on. Like they give me five and then they change lights. And then at the end, we take away the lines on the floor, kind of like the border that, so that they come in and they end up the show themselves. This was the first show, the first creation, and it went really well for us. We've done 200 shows and tour around the world. And we have done as well a version for autistic children, which is very interesting for us. It's something that we open and we are very curious to continue doing that. And the show is called Hello Hands and Feet. Well, there's a lot to talk about this, but... Just, I jumped to the last show that we presented in the festival, and then we can maybe have Q&A and stuff. So yeah, the last show, this is And the Idea Soar. And the other show, it's Copiar. It means to copy. We started doing some research in schools, just improvising with the kids without telling them what to do. So it came out like a very intuitive, language, body language with lounge, with music and light. And then one kid said like, oh, but we are copying each other all the time. And we thought, oh, that's actually what we are doing. And we build the show out of this. And also we realized that sometimes or many times in school to copy the other has a bad reputation of like, oh, you're copying the other. You're not as good as if it's original. And the statement in this theater piece is that we copy each other and it's always original because we learn from that. We copy our parents and we copy everyone. And like, there's no wrong on that. So what I do is that I pick up eight children. It's like girls, boys from the audience. They've never seen the show. They don't have any information. I just tell them, come with me. I just walk backstage and I jump in and they just copy me all along the show. So we do 1 hour show and they just copy me. And yeah, you have to come and see us tomorrow.
So thank you so much. So all of you have spoken of, I guess, how circus is in some ways made collectively, is about building community, is very much involved in a notion of exchange with your audiences. But I'm very curious that we have this lovely international panel. You're all coming from different countries. And then, Lynn, we have the local Galway aspect here as well. I guess I'm interested in what are your experiences of how the performances change in the various different contexts? We have this idea that perhaps with this sense of collectivity that you might be able to kind of break barriers that circus often can go beyond language in some ways. And indeed, with your work, Emily, we have work for people with pre-language, I guess, as well with the babies. So maybe you could talk to us a little bit about how the work might have changed or anything that was kind of surprising for you along the way in terms of that idea of boundaries, if you wouldn't mind talking to that. So maybe we'll go in the same order we went before. So maybe Emily first.
I just want to be sure that you mean about different audiences that we're going to meet on the road?
Yeah. And was there anything that was kind of surprising or different or engaging about that for you?
Well, I think it's, we have to be honest, is that babies, I think, in a baby show, what we see very different is more the adults different. Is how we are raising children in different countries. Mm. So sometimes it's a little bit more loose, sometimes it's a bit more strict, and it's all fine. But we see very different parents, especially. And so that's interesting. And then I think we also have to be careful on thinking, oh, in Ireland they're like this, or in, I think it can be a bit stereotype. Mm. Based that sometimes you have a show in the morning and there's going to be a type of audience, and the afternoon completely different type of audience, and that's also really nice. I think for us, I mean, with Be Kind, there's really this link when we have the parents and the adults before the performance that we kind. I go normally, I'm the person in charge, that I go to the parents and I kind of reassure them that it's going to be okay. I'm kind of the link. Mm. With the performance, and then it's just basically a human base that you see all these parents is a bit nervous, so I will go a little bit more with this parent, or you have to just be aware of who is coming, and it's, I think, all time quite different.
So you can't make any kind of assumptions that each performance is going to be different because of how you're reacting to that exchange with the audience, and you have to be very open to that. Each time.
And also the performance behind is first a sitting situation, and then we open the door to the babies and they go on stage, and it's every time different. But what is great is that there are certain things that we know most of the time it's going to work. It's like there's one point, like a ball coming in the decor, we know there's going to be a kid going to the ball. Most of the time. It happens not, sometimes not, but there's still some plugs that if the performance is done a certain way, it should work still, like a bit like. Yes. But the very surprising aspect of having a baby performance, that's really amazing, because the artist is not like, I do a choreography or I do my circus trick. It's like, what can I do with this baby just next to me when I'm doing a handstand? Mm. What I'm going to do, what I prioritize, how I can include him into the play on stage. So that's really an important part, this unpredictable that comes into the pump into the stage, basically.
And maybe this is what might mark all of your work a little bit differently to other works, in that it has that element of chance and that element of kind of spontaneity that you have to be alive to as performers, I guess. So maybe Warden, if you wanted to speak to that as well.
No, completely. I was just thinking about this actually, that all propositions from the different companies is, there is a lot of like a invitation of interaction. Like it's not that it's just a written play then we will just gonna play it in a classical way, but it's like we propose something and we wait for an interaction to come, and that's gonna shape the piece, and it even makes it, the audience becomes a co-author in a way, like we are creating together. So it's an exchange, and I think that's very beautiful. I'm also a big fan of public space again, because I think you reach a wider audience. And there's also less things you can control. Mm. Like in a black box, you can basically control everything. Maybe some audiences will react a bit different. Like for example, when we performed in Latvia, we have this kind of odd beginning where it's a bit weird, and here the Irish youngsters were commenting a lot. Why is he coming back on stage? And then in other countries, it's like everybody's applauding, like almost like classically when the musicians coming on stage, everybody. But you didn't do anything yet, so and that's very, for us also sometimes, like, why are they doing this, and like I don't know, like that's funny and it's nice to feel also.
I do love the circus perspective, that you're looking for more things that you can't control in your performance, whereas I think from a theater perspective, you're constantly trying to see what you can control, maybe. But it's lovely that you're kind of that sort of that invitation to chance and spontaneity, something that you really want to play with as much as you can with what you're doing.
But I don't think it's a general thing. I think some companies, especially in circus, there is a lot of risk. And so, yeah, calculated risks for sure. So you also want to be safe and things. So maybe it's more like taking risks in like, not trying to control everything. But when you know this is dangerous, we need to have control over this. then you make sure you have control over it. So, yeah. But there's circus companies going very far with this, mainly in clowning, for example, like not the typical clown you might think of, but more like, clowns really putting themselves in complex situations where you think like, oof, how is this gonna end up, you know? And then it's the thrill. The thrill is real, eh?
Yeah.
We can't control everything.
Right on cue, in a way. It seemed to go. And again, we have this fascinating work of people that are kind of clown activists, I guess, who put themselves in quite dangerous situations. But again, it's that idea that you can have risk, you can have spontaneity and chance within this controlled environment. So it allows us to explore those things. And I guess, Lynn, that's something that young people get a chance themselves to explore through practicing youth circus.
Yeah.
That they're able to navigate some of those things. Do you want to speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. I think this vibrancy that you have when you actually interact with the kids is really, really important. And it's, I think it's life changing for some kids, that kind of connection that a performer can have with them, you know, that it's a story they take home. We've been talking a lot in the circus recently about particularly because we've been working, we've got a big project with disabled kids at the moment. And we've brought Extraordinary Bodies over to kind of broker relationships and talk about the best way of working with them. And it's that thing of, if you can't see it, you can't be it. And I'm really thankful to Barbara this year for bringing so much circus to Galway, because it means our kids can go and see it. And, you know, and these kids are the future of our company, but also the circus sector, you know. They may not go on to be performers, but they could be teachers, but they'll definitely be audience. And, you know, and they might be decision makers, they might be funders. There might be head teachers who go, I want some circus in my school. So, you know, they're the ones that's going to grow up and make those decisions on the future of circus. So it's really important for them to see it and experience it.
I guess we have a lot of writings now about the idea that children don't have as much risk or play in their lives as parenting styles have changed, I guess. And it is a kind of an environment where they can do those things. They can navigate chance and spontaneity, which sometimes is not there in other fields of their life, I guess, as well. So really important. Actually, what you spoke about there, I saw literally happen at your show, Kim, by the end of the show, because you invited the children up at the very end of the performance that I saw for them to actually take over the stage, literally. Mm-hmm. And what was lovely about it was they were kind of mimicking some of the particular movements you had been doing earlier on.
Yeah.
And they had kind of, in a sense, they were living the experience they'd seen through their bodies at the end, which was kind of a beautiful moment to see. But do you want to speak as well to that idea of spontaneity and chance and how it might work in different environments?
Yeah. There's many things that in my head, knowing why circus and everything. Just to mention that circus, I think for the community and the society, it's very low recognized in many governments and countries. So I think there's something it's hard. Of course, it's hard. Yes, for the artist for a person to grow in a circus and step on stage and like, what do you want to say? And, you know, all these questions that the artist, they have, because when you're preparing a piece and what you want to say to the audience, it doesn't mean like how many hours have you trained to do this trick in front. Huh? This is another thing that covers almost all your training circus before you know how to do a rondat flip mortal or whatever discipline you choose. So there's something very strong there, you know, like a circus creation. There's a trapezist and a trapeze there. You start making a picture of what it's going to be about the show. It's like a jamón hanging there. I don't know. It's, a, it's like, yeah. Wow, okay, how can I just start with that, you know? So, but it's true that it's this practice, it brings audience, no? It brings people to practice as well. It's a good collision for social meeting. A lot of associations, social groups, I don't know, like it's a good magnet for making a connection. So it's also working for that. And I don't know, I just wanted to say that it was in the back of my head, why circus? But in these interactions, yeah, of course. I mean, for me, and no control, it's something that I love, and I think it's just so nice. And when someone vulnerable, someone from the audience that is aged, like it's in a passive position mm-hmm. of observing and receiving a performance, when abandon this position and step in and collaborate and starts to create things, it's so good to watch, no? It's like, and especially with children's, as well, the practices we are doing with neurodiverse people, I think there's something very pure there. For me, it's just like watching when, if, for example, now enters an animal and stays there, I'm sure we will be amazed watching it for 5 minutes, and it's so hard to make it better than that because they have, they are just incredible to watch, you know. And so humans, we have this intellectual thing that we are processing and we are trying to understand stuff. And as soon as this intellect, it's on the side, and people who have not thought about it just step in, and they are like kind of naked on, or a very small children that they are so open, things are very interesting for me. So of course encounters with different audience stepping in, very interesting.
Thank you all so much for that. I think we're all fully convinced, I think, now of how circus is going to change the world and how we need far more of it. If we were to think about the future, and if I was to say to you, you know, you have unlimited resources, okay, and we're going to invest heavily in circus, what kind of things would you like to do or to see if you had no restrictions?
I think it's very interesting at the moment, circus, because it's so diverse. And in so many panel in circuses, like, what is circus? And is it still circus? Or so many questions, but actually it's nice that you cannot define it, that you can, that the makers really take the full liberty to do whatever they want to do. Like today we can see circus in an aquarium, like doing mm-hmm. amazing things, or in a truck. We can see Magie Nouvelle. We can see circus in the street or in the apartment of people. Like we can do parkour. We can do so many things. So I think I have the feeling that the makers are really free today and feel that whatever they choose, if they want to invest into something, it's possible to make it. I would say that the only thing that scares me a little bit is basically maybe the financial restriction. I would say, because we had a circus like really developing a lot, the contemporary circus. And now it feels like in some places we see funding going down and all these things. And that might restrict a bit the art form. Mm. I mean, I'm here with Be Kind because of the support of the Dutch fund that helped us to come here. And most of our travels, also international travels, are supported. So it's just like, I hope it continue, and I hope circus makers, we still have the support to have their creation made, basically. It's not very glamorous, but we need it.
It's important, that idea that it's been investing in the artists themselves, that they yeah. can create the work, they can have that freedom to actually do it because they feel financially sound or safe in yeah. that way, and that they don't have to worry about that in order to create the best work. I think yeah. obviously an incredibly important point.
So but it develops really a lot. Circus today, it's really amazing.
Great. Ward, do you have...
Yeah. I completely agree with yeah. the versatility of circus now, like the fact that it can be everything and nothing, and mm. that we can accept that it's circus. Mm. I like that. Sometimes I find it sad that there is still some kind of it's marginalized a bit. Mm. Sometimes circus as an art form is not yet recognized as a fully contemporary art. And that's a good thing in a way, because that makes that everything is still possible. Mm. We're not so much in a box yet. When you see theater or dance, sometimes you think like you're just repeating what's been done already, because you think you're supposed to do that. Mm. So it's a double thing. I think both France or Belgium or Catalonia are all regions where circus is quite high on the list, or like I'd like that it becomes more and more in other countries the same. Mm-hmm. Because it's hard times for culture this period, I think. Budgets are going down everywhere, and I think for every art form it's complex. Mm-hmm. I would like that circus is not pushing away other art forms also, because it's new, it's exciting, it's cool, but it's also mm-hmm. other things also need to exist. Mm-hmm. And be on equal level, as I said.
But that idea of marginalization in both ways, that actually it can be a positive in one sense, which is interesting what you're saying, that actually in that marginal space, maybe that you can innovate, you can do certain things that you mightn't have in other spaces. But then at the other side of it, by being marginalized, you're not necessarily getting the respect, or the form is not as understood perhaps as other art forms are, that have had longer recognition in this kind of area. So again, maybe it's about the making of more work might open, and the these events and this festival and so on, again, really bringing this work to the fore is again helping in that, hopefully towards that idea. But if really to try and get more respect for the art form, I guess, and more understanding of what it is, because there is still misconceptions about what circus is, I think, from people, and that would be a big change, I think. Great. Lynn, with unlimited resources, what would you do?
I have my shopping list. Okay, so in a nutshell, more circus in more places for more people. Mm. So, more of this kind of thing, more shows coming to Galway. I think it'd be great to have more circus and be able to see it more regularly. Mm. From GCC kind of point of view, I'd like to build, and I work with Extraordinary Bodies. So it's the company that came out of the Paralympics in London, and it's disabled and non-disabled artists, and they're phenomenal, so inspiring. And we've been really lucky. This is our second time working with them, and we're building towards a show in February. So I would have more money to make a bigger show and more people involved, and definitely and keep them over.
Right.
I'd like to build our youth ensemble, so we're working a lot on getting a youth troupe together at the moment, raising the skill level, being more visible, more shows, again, in more places, and more opportunities for nurturing future artists. I'd like to build our own Mayhem Festival, so again, bringing more circus shows and more opportunities for people to have a go. More outreach, working with marginalised communities, continue working with our EU partners, so our kids can keep travelling and meeting other people like themselves, the countries. We've got, at the moment, three requests from Capital of Culture cities who've asked us to partner with them on future funambulism projects, so it'd be great to build on that and just have more tight wire walking around the world. We keep investing in our trainers, but most of all, I would build a huge circus building in the middle of Galway, where I can do all of the circus with blind bees rigs and everything else that we have to do at the moment.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, you're I love that you've got your list just ready to go. So show me the money and we'll do the rest. Fantastic. Thank you so much. And I think we'd all welcome all of those things would be fantastic to have. And a case of Extraordinary Bodies is really interesting in that the sense of the misconceptions around circus. Maybe people might think of circus as being about very much about able bodies and certain certain ways and perceptions around athleticism and so on. But then when you see extraordinary bodies with different types of bodies, but again, the extreme athleticism, what they can do and the kind of challenges that are there, and really open out what this art form can do and where it is and how it can help people and how it can inspire us in so many different ways and how inclusive it is as an art form is really great. But Kim, to come to you, you have unlimited money.
No, I don't know. I'm thinking about the chance to explore, to try, error, experiment. To really like find spaces where you feel free to try out, or you have money and space to try out without pushing yourself to make something that someone likes, that someone buys you, that because I've been in many schools and I think they're missing this part of freedom, creation, really asking themselves or observing what you do, being in both sides, judging, why, questioning, trying again. Yeah, I think we need a lot of space like this. Or my feeling is that we're missing that. And also mixing different ages. I would do my shopping list is a circus school for everyone, not for young, and muscle and train and well tricked. No, everyone can come in, babies to grandpas, and try to make shows out in the circus and see what come out. Try out,
Brilliant. That idea. Time and space and open to all children from 0 to 99.
We are in a process where you're 15, go. If you can come early before, because then you'll be good on that. And when you're good on that, you try to make a show and then you will have all the questions of like, okay, what do you want to say? What is about the show? I just want to do a handstand. Well, then just do a handstand and, all these problems much before.
But that space for development and time and your work and Emily's work, I guess, in that sense of where you're going back to audiences and then getting feedback from audiences and then shaping the show with them and from them and all that, does require time and space.
And art, creation. It's an art form, I would say.
Absolutely. I'm going to open it out to the audience now if anyone has questions for our panelists that they want to pose and that we can then... and I might repeat the question as well, just for the microphone here as well. So it's going back to this idea of the marginalized space that circus is in, and traditionally circus maybe being associated with traveling circuses, and I guess a little bit in the past that idea of kind of freak shows, or the idea that people are kind of objectified as other in some ways, and that kind of marginal history. Is there a way that actually... that can, and I think all of your work speaks to this, how that marginal space that circus did occupy historically, perhaps, that actually is something that you embrace, I guess, as Ward said, that through that, perhaps, that marginal space, is that something that you can work with and bring this sense of inclusivity actually from it, where you can work with marginalized communities, but also make the marginal in the mainstream? I don't know, is that kind of articulating? Yeah, so... Could you respond to that, do you think? Is that something you could...
I hope I understand well. So I think we have a lot of circus artists bringing very interesting performances about very much social topics. We had like Jan Sales, for example, that she did like a performance called I Killed a Man, and she had a performance about her transition. And I think in circus, it's actually quite interesting to see that circus artists are not really much in a box, I feel. It feels like really, it's actually an example to show that you can be very much different, and that for the audience, I think it can be really an example that you can be who you are with your quality. And if you see in circus, you can see like some big, and they can be the base, but you also see tiny men and they can fly and flip. And in dance, it's much more strict, especially in ballet, you have to have the turnout, you have a certain, it changed also a lot. But still, there's some qualities. I think in circus, it's a very individual form of art. So even if you're a circus, like a juggler, for example, and you come out of your circus school, you might not be able to do the things from another juggler. Or so it's a very personal art form. So I would say that it's really open to really interesting topics. And I think it's also a nice form to express diversity. So I don't feel we are in a box. I hope I understood well what you're talking about.
Chris, does anyone else want to answer that question?
Yeah, I think the problem is not with the circus artist, but with the society. Mm. The fact that if I say to my family, hey, I'm doing circus for my life, and they're like, ah, Cirque du Soleil. And I'm like, no, not really. Or then someone is, you know, and I'm like, ah, phew, you didn't see what actually we're doing, you know. So I think
image
people try to define it a bit, like what is their memory from circus. And maybe 50 years ago, there was quite some traditional circuses traveling around, which is going less and less now also. And I don't think we need to lose that. I think it's still very, very okay to exist. But we are speaking about contemporary circus. And yeah, I think in theater or in dance, people are way more used to, it's, it has a longer tradition. Yes. So they're way more used to have a very open and huge names, artists that really have this exposure. And contemporary circus has maybe not that huge exposure yet, I think. So it's very important that great pieces are made and that people are like, ah, wow. And that those artists also say this is circus and not necessarily say it's a mixture or it's an interdisciplinary thing. No, it's circus and it's a bit of everything, but it's still this. And I think that's my opinion. Maybe that does reply on your question, but that's how I feel it as when I speak about circus, that many people don't really know what it is until they come to see it. So and they see different propositions, because my circus is not your circus or your circus. And that's beautiful. Yeah.
But ultimately, all of them are welcoming, I guess, in that way. Yeah. And Lynn, I guess the question did also kind of reference, I guess, the work that Galway Community Circus do with traveller communities and so on. Do you want to speak a little bit to the question?
Yeah, it felt like there was about three questions in one there. I think for me, circus is about celebrating the extraordinary. And that for each different person, the extraordinary is different. So it might be, you know, if somebody can just throw one ball and catch it, they couldn't do that yesterday, and that's something extraordinary for them to do. Mm. I think when extraordinary bodies formed, there was a lot of discussion around freak shows and things like that. Mm-hmm. Mm. And I think the perception of circus now and the way that they present it in particular is very different. It's people, in the same way people used to go and see a lion because they'd never, you know, there was no TV and they'd never seen a lion before. I think there was some of that in the past, but now it is a real celebration when people go and see extraordinary bodies. It's a real celebration of the capacity of human mm-hmm. beings, whatever bodies they have, mm-hmm. and it's a really beautiful thing, I think. I think the marginalisation, I think you're totally right about society. I think it's we do have an image problem still, and I do celebrate classical circuses, and I definitely think there's a place, and I love going to see them. But that is the image that most people grow up with. If kids do a circus project in school, that's what they, you know, it's all big tops and lions and things like that. So I think. One of the things that I want to do is create new resources for schools that are contemporary. And so there's more inspiration for kids, and they can see more of a breadth of circus and not just these old images. And I think the fact that something that really, really, really gets to me is the fact that newspapers constantly use circus and clowns in particular as something that's detrimental. If they criticize the government and, you know, say, yeah. it's a circus and, you know, or they're clowns or whatever. And I don't know how to change that, but I'd love it if we could.
So they have clowning as pejorative, and they're like, yeah, they're clowning around, and that means they're useless in some ways, where we might think clowning around actually is incredibly important, and maybe even vital in what we do. Kim, I don't know, did you want to speak to the question as well? Or?
No, I was just thinking that the beginning of circus and abilities as well, no? What abilities we have each of us to show that they are changing a lot, no? There's very strict disciplines in circus where you practice and you can like show up these skills, no? And now I guess the circus, contemporary circus, is asking what are your actual skills, or you can transform that and start from another point. And someone would be like, well, my skill is to eat and sleep, and you can start from that as well. But I'm thinking about the circus as a chaos, and there's something about bringing things from outside, exotic things, home, because circus has been fighting all the time. Like, hey, I'm here, you know, it's okay, we don't have a theater, don't worry, let's put something up. We invite you, we have food, zoo animals, we have like people, strange people from different cultures, we have everything, you know, and there's a man inside that has like crazy ideas and is about to kill himself. Just come in, you know, we have explosions. So it's been like fighting for the audience to come in. And we are still there, I feel. People doesn't want to go to the theater now. I feel like it's hard to pull them in. You really have to provoke them to come in.
We have somebody who's been holding their hand up very patiently here, is trying to ask a question.
Yeah.
So yes. So the idea that the exposure in schools and in circus or often is about the perception is about that it's about tents and big tops. Yep. Is it different
if
it's different
in
different places? Yeah. So the idea.
I can answer a bit.
Great.
Thank you for the question. I worked in tent. I performed in tent and in the theaters as well and in the street. So I can tell you three different things. The first thing in circus, what is very interesting is that at the time it's a ring. So you have to perform from this side, from this side, from behind as well. And in a theater, you're more like this, like in front and a bit on the side and a bit up sometimes. So I would say that's a different, like to really have this space, that's very different. And in the street, it's also different. Because you see really much the people. You really see their face. And in the beginning, when I first performed in the street, I was like, oh my God, they have faces. They look at you. And that's a bit scary. So I would say in circus, it's more round for me. I mean, it's not maybe for everybody. And for theater, it's a bit more frontal. And in street, I would say it's really like, really real. Like it's really, we strip a bit the light and everything. So it's another form as well. Did I answer?
Yeah.
Sorry. Maybe someone else can try.
So all those different contexts change how performance is and the energy of the performance. Yeah. Do we want to answer that question, or will we go to another question? So what is the strangest place that you may have performed in, or strangest moment you've had in performing? Ward, I guess you've done lots of site specifics in the most interesting places. Yeah.
Now in May this year, we performed in Brussels in a museum, but it's the sewer museum. So it's 20 meters under the ground.
Wow.
And so we took the, it was in the day of the water. So it was like rain. And so the festival, Hopla Festival in Brussels, asked us to create something for this. So in Brussels, there is a river that's and the times of the pest and like huge diseases. They wanted to cover the river because the river was very nasty. So they made a tunnel of 13 kilometers under the city, and actually the river is flowing under the city. And in this particular museum, you can walk next to that river in tunnels. So they asked us to create something there, and we have put a trapeze artist above the water, of course, in a launch, because you don't want to fall inside. Because if not, you're gone for 8 kilometers until you're up again. And it's very dirty. And so there was also a trombone player and a baritone saxophone playing with the reverb, the sound of the tunnels. Yeah, it was magic. Wow. So that was quite weird. There was also one part where it really started to smell very intense, and we were insisting on playing there. So people were really like,
nice.
That was fun. Holding their noses. That's a very unusual place to have work made in a sewer. Kim, did you have an unusual place as well where you might have made work?
I most perform in theaters and using lights, and because we like the dark. But the one we did site specific, it was a horse farm, and we invite the audience to come in from the village into the bus. So the show started inside the bus. Mm. And then we played some music and we were running along the bus. So the audience was into the fields with the bus, and we were running naked in the fields and making some kind of choreography.
Wow.
It was nice.
And I guess, Lynn, I mean, you mentioned that there's cities that want to continue the Funambulism project that was inspired, I guess, by Lifeline in Galway here, where you had hundreds of volunteers, not trained professionals, circus people, but people who had been training for a few weeks that then managed to cross the Carb, which I think is the fastest flowing river in Europe, if I'm correct. So again, that they had that experience within Galway. But I don't know if you wanted to talk about that, or is there other places that you've performed in and that you've made work in?
I do have a story of somewhere I performed, but I'll talk about the... So the Lifeline project was really... The Corrib is, the fastest river in Europe, and there's a lot of sad stories from it. Mm. So there's a lot of young people who decide to end their lives there. And you'll see at the weekend, there's always a Corrib watch who are kind of stopping people from jumping in and things. And there was a particular time when my predecessor, Ulla, there'd been quite a lot of deaths. And there was a whole negative perception of that river. So she decided to change it by creating this funambulism project. So getting young people to kind of face their fears and walk across the river. Mm. And it kind of served the purpose of changing people's perception of the river and kind of, in a way, celebrating as part of Galway, but also just as an investigation on mental health and how circus can be a healthy way to tackle mental health issues. Mm. And, yeah, we've been asked to kind of help other cities who want to do these more projects with funambulism. But something I learned recently was that there's a similar place called Beachy Head in the UK, which has a similar reputation of people wanting to end their lives. And Pete, who I work with, knows that he mentors the chief executive of the council there. And she was inspired by Lifeline to try to change the perception of this place. So they now have yoga, and they have arts projects, and they have a whole series of stuff that happens on the top of these cliffs to kind of encourage people to realize that life's worth living. And that was totally inspired by life.
It's amazing.
Really moving to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. And amazing to see how it can change the nature of the space and how it kind of functions, and, you know, and truly inspiring work as well. And 20,000 people, I think, here saw that in the festival. So I think on that note, just to thank all of our panelists today for their engagement and their arguments. Very clearly, I'm definitely changed by this conversation on why circus. I think they answered us beautifully today. So thank them all. If we could offer them a round of applause.